This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Tuesday, July 20th. Well, yesterday was a pretty disappointing day. We started out strong. We actually gapped higher in wheat. We almost gapped higher in corn and beans. By the end of the day, we had outside days lower in corn and beans. With wheat hanging in there, it was still higher on the day, but off the highs. Minneapolis continuing to be the star of the whole grain complex as it just we just sit here and watch the spring wheat crop completely get decimated by massive heat dome and dry winds on top of it. So it's a disaster going on in the northern plains, and it's stretching up into the Canadian prairies as well. And it's not just spring wheat it's affecting, it's all the spring crops. And included in that is canola, which is a major oil seed for the world, and also corn and soybeans as you get deeper into the Dakotas and across Minnesota and even northern Iowa. So it's a huge heat dome that has been impacting the northern quarter of the United States. It's moved back and forth between the PNW, the northern plains. Now we see it kind of getting parked over the northern plains and elongating down into the central plains and into the western Midwest. The monsoon that comes up through the southwest is kind of trapping it into that central and west Midwest region. And we're going to see the heat dip down all the way into Texas. We're going to see Nebraska, South Dakota, even the western edge of Iowa see 100 degree temperatures. And there are pockets within that region that will see over 110. So these are temperatures that we saw a few weeks ago in Washington and Oregon. And now it's been in the hundreds across the northern plains for a few weeks. That is continuing, but now we're starting to see 110s show up on the weather models. And it's not just the GFS model, which tends to be a little more extreme. It's the European model, the Canadian model. They're all agreement that this heat dome stays across the northern plains and shifts into the western Midwest and also brings that intense heat, like the 110s, not just mid-90s pushing 100, this is like 110. And it's going to be dry across that whole region. For 2 weeks, we see Iowa really with no rain at all. And even without the heat, that would be a problem as we are headed into the heart of pollination across that region. So for pollination, corn is, we're at 60% silking. Minnesota 62%, North Dakota 22%, South Dakota 27%, Kansas at 57%. So you're in the middle of pollination in Iowa and Minnesota. You're kind of still in the early stages in the Dakotas and the Central Plains, and yet here comes this heat dome. That is going to be a huge problem for the corn crop. Just that pocket of the Dakotas, Minnesota, northern Iowa is about 20% of the U.S. crop. Now we're dipping down into Kansas, Nebraska. That is going to, you know, obviously add more onto there. Those are pretty, the eastern third of both of those states are pretty heavy corn and bean country. So, you know, clearly we're still in a bull market. We're still in a weather-driven market. But yesterday's price action was largely dictated by the equity markets. We see COVID cases surging again, and boy, that just puts the fear of God into the equity markets, and people just run for the exits. And we were down 950 points at one point in the stock market, and we didn't close quite that bad, but still there was a pretty significant round of selling in equities. And of course, if you're looking at another surge in COVID, we just have to look back to what it was like a year ago. And that certainly was not a pleasant situation, certainly not a bullish situation. So everything got deflated. And we, even if you're going to have another run on the stores, which I don't think you will, it just brings back a lot of fear into the market. So there was just a wave of liquidation going on, long liquidation. That spilled over to commodities as well. So that was, again, that was the disappointing part of the trade action, because we started out strong. Corn and beans both stalled again at their resistance levels. Corn has this significant gap that was put in here about 3 weeks ago, and it has not been able to get back even into the gap, much less above it. But we're spending now, this is the fifth day in a row that we're testing that gap level in corn. After yesterday's outside day lower, after testing the gap, today we're back up against that gap. So we come into today, the stock market is stabilized. We got our crop condition ratings, which weren't as good as what the trade thought. They were steady to slightly higher. And so that is a bullish development. Now we're looking at this heat still continuing into the end of July and stretching into early August in those key corn and bean growing regions. And in fact, it's expanding slightly into the southern Midwest and kind of nipping into the eastern Midwest. For corn condition ratings, we're at 65% good to excellent. That's unchanged from a week ago. Soybeans at 60% good to excellent. That's up one from a year ago. Soybean setting pods, we have Iowa at 30%, Minnesota 26%, North Dakota 14%, South Dakota 8%, Kansas 14%. So you're not quite as far advanced in the soybeans, but if that heat sticks around, it could actually do more damage to soybeans than corn because it would be more of its pollination period exposed to this heat and dryness. Now looking at wheat, spring wheat, 11%, good to excellent nationwide. That is a record low since they started keeping these records in the mid-80s. That's down 5 from last week. Montana, 12%, good to excellent. That's down 4 from last week. 69%, poor to very poor. In North Dakota, 11%, good to excellent, down 5 from last week. 64%, poor to very poor. Winter wheat harvest, Montana's at 10% done. That's 4 points ahead of the average. Now, I would imagine with this heat, it's going to move pretty fast. It's probably not going to be much of a spring wheat harvest across really any of the northern plains, unfortunately. And it's heartbreaking to see the crop suffer like this. We haven't had this kind of a brutal beating by Mother Nature since 1988. And there are plenty who would argue that it's even worse than that. And it's tough to be worse than 1988, but this certainly rivals that, if not worse. So, and it's not just the United States. So the massive disaster that is unfolding in spring wheat country, and again, that includes a lot of other spring crops, barley, oats, you know, all your small spring grains are kind of located in that region. But it's also, again, the canola, the corn, the soybeans, hay, pasture, it's just decimated. So that alone is changing the dynamics of the wheat market from a kind of a flat market and following along with corn to its own, stand on its own bull market in wheat. Now we're going to add a few other things to that. The harvest going on in Russia has been disappointing as far as winter wheat yields go. We've been aware of that for a good week and a half. And they're starting to lower production estimates. Sovcon took it down 2.3 million tons. They're sitting at 84.6 million tons for all wheat. USDA last week had it at 85. So they're pretty much in line with USDA. What Sovcon is saying that there's probably more downgrades coming as the harvest moves on and the heat and dryness that is settled, that has been over spring wheat country for quite a while, is really starting to hit that crop as well. And we've seen that in Kazakhstan, which is primarily a spring wheat grower and a small spring wheat exporter. They're starting to limit their exports already. Spring wheat has been suffering primarily in the central region and the Volga region. Siberia had started early with some suffering, but that has kind of stabilized with some recent rains. And the Urals have been in poor condition all season. So spring wheat is not exported out of Russia, but it's obviously a big part of their production. That's where some of your downgrades will come from. But it also is going, most likely, the government is going to keep that export tax in place if their spring wheat crop is in trouble, because obviously they're not going to allow the displacement of winter wheat coming out of the southern region. Normally, you know, spring wheat would flow to the northern and central region. That's not going to happen. So they're probably going to be pulling winter wheat from the southern region up into the central region. So either way, the government's going to look at this as a clear excuse to keep those export taxes in place. So that limits what Russia's exports will be and the aggressiveness with which they will push out that wheat. Now, even at 85 million tons for total production, that's almost a record. That almost equals last year's record. So it's still a big number, but the government's going to look at this and say, we're not going to allow this much to leave. If the government was imposing an export tax on last year's record crop, what would they do when they see their production declining this year? So it just stands to reason that they're going to be protective of domestic supplies. So spring wheat declines in Russia, Kazakhstan, United States, Canada. Those are the major regions of high quality hard spring wheat that's grown, and all of them are in notable trouble production wise. So wheat has turned the corner pretty quickly, I might say. We were, you know, just a couple weeks ago, we were wallowing our way through the harvest lows, and even though corn and beans were trying to move higher, wheat was struggling, the winter wheats anyway. Spring wheat was surging higher, so the spreads just exploded with spring wheat gaining against the winter wheats. That has since stabilized. KC and Minneapolis are keeping up with, KC and Chicago are keeping up with Minneapolis. And again, I will say, if corn and beans take off to the upside, which I think they will, Chicago probably will outperform Minneapolis and Kansas City. So that spread is going to narrow. Both of those spreads with KC and Minneapolis against Chicago will narrow. But that doesn't mean the game is over for that. You just have to wait until the weather market explodes and implodes, and ends for corn and beans. Then you look at where those spreads are. So if that happens, I think it sets up a huge potential, especially against Kansas City, which is still trading discount to Chicago. And that's just not right. It's been that way for a few years, and that's just not right. I see that soft red plantings will probably be higher, looking for a double crop with soybeans, just like for next year, just like we had this year. I see Kansas City in trouble, 110 degrees in Kansas, and you're going to be planting winter wheat here. Granted, it's a ways down the road, but you're setting the stage for some pretty dry conditions to start the winter wheat crop in the southern plains. So I would be really careful about selling wheat anywhere for the next year. But those spreads, I think, will finally come back into what their long-term norm has been, with KC premium to Chicago. So there's tons of opportunities here. And when you get the volatility and big moves in markets, it creates even more opportunity. So those are things to look for. Chicago to be the better performer if corn really explodes to the upside. The spreads against KC and Minneapolis will narrow up significantly, or with Kansas, you know, become wider to the discount, but that just creates an opportunity. So a lot going on. Weather market is massive. This is massive. The heat dome has been massive. The dryness has been acute. There's no subsoil moisture, and pretty much across the entire western half of the United States, except for maybe Texas and Oklahoma and Kansas. But it's going to get depleted pretty fast here over these next couple weeks. So I think we're on the cusp of something big, unless, you know, a tropical event comes through, but we don't see anything on the horizon there either. And that's probably what would be needed to break this ridge apart and to push it out of the way. So if you have any questions or comments, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.